Let's get back to What Happened on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's your host, Tom Inavnet.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. After this short break, once again, this is What Happened. If I'd like to hear from you, if you want to join our conversation, please give us a call. Our phone lines are open at 888-GO-4-IT. Once again, 888-463-6748. Love to hear from you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know, most of my adult life I've heard over and over about energy independence. We have been relying on foreign oil for so long that it actually has become quite an addiction, and more of a political addiction than anything else. It's economically, it's fairly unfeasible. But understand that when we first started going to the oil sands in the Saudi Arabian Peninsula, the national policy was actually, I tell you what, let's burn their oil and we'll have ours. At the time, the oil sands, they really weren't expected to last as long as they have, frankly. And the national policy was, listen, if we burn their oil, we still have ours. That keeps us in a good, secure national position. And that's all fine and wonderful, except for one thing. We have shipped hundreds and hundreds of billions of our dollars over to a foreign body of governments that don't like us. They like us because we send them our dollars and they give us their oil. They don't really have a great need for oil. We do. We drink a lot of water, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you. And that's not actually a wonderful thing, but that's a subject for a different show. However, the answer to that has actually been developed in the last few years. You've all heard of slant drilling and fracking and so forth, and it's got a lot of bad press. I know I've seen all of the things that say it's polluting groundwater, et cetera, et cetera. But the fact is, that really isn't that true. Now, I come from West Texas, and West Texas is full of oil fields. Back in the day when I was a boy, almost a third of the world's oil came through that region. And I'm telling you for a fact, ladies and gentlemen, most of the oil that is usable is between 10 and 14,000 feet underground. When you frack that deep, you are 14,000 feet under groundwater level. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's really not that feasible to think that if we're doing something 14,000 feet, it's going to seep up to the surface. It's just not. Now, these new drilling techniques have allowed us to produce a lot more oil. As a matter of fact, if you notice today, oil dropped below $90 a barrel for the first time since last November 1st. And that's simply because we have more oil than we can use. And the truth is we are actually exporting oil to our allies overseas to help supplement their oil supply. So we have all the oil we need, ladies and gentlemen. We really do have all the oil we need. However, here comes a wonderful idea. Now, up in Canada, they have been working on the oil sands. They've refined their drilling methods, the way they get it out of the ground. Now, it's pretty much environmentally as safe as they can make it, which, frankly, ladies and gentlemen, most places where you find oil fields, there's not a lot of environment to protect. Now, again, I came from West Texas, and trust me, that is hardcore hot desert. They make a mess, they drill a hole, they clean up the mess, they go away, and there's an oil well. Okay, it's a pretty simple thing. But the Canadians have offered, listen, let us build a pipeline stretching from our oil sands down to Houston, Texas, which is the largest refinery group in the world. And, wow, there's 30% of our dependency right there, gone. We don't have to worry about that anymore. We've got 30% more of our oil demand coming from an ally that has been our ally as long as any of us can remember. However, here come the pundits again one more time. Oh, no, it's going to tear up the environment. We're all going to die. It's going to flood our wheat fields in Kansas, Nebraska. They're just going to be gone. We're all going to starve. We're going to have these huge messes and so forth. And ladies and gentlemen, that's just not true. This is another tactic that Washington is using to keep us in power now, or keep themselves in power. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I suspect, and this is only a suspicion, I promise you. I suspect that the Obama administration, and again, I'm not going to be a pundit one way or another, but they have, since the inception of their candidacy in 2007, have been pushing green jobs. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a great idea. It's wonderful. The sun is out there. It puts out about 14 watts per square foot. If we could only harness it, we would have more energy than we need. The wind blows everywhere all the time. If we can only harness it, it would actually be a wonderful thing. We've got a lot of hydroelectric dams that are pumping, pumping, pumping. There's research into magnetic drives, natural gas turbines, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the resources we need, and it's not bothering the environment. Those are all green, and those are wonderful things. The only real problem there is the technology simply doesn't exist. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've been in the computer industry and high technology for 30 years. And I'm telling you, as wonderful as things are and as fast as we are progressing, no practical energy source exists right now outside fossil fuels. This includes coal, natural gas. Now, the one exception to that is hydroelectric, and another one might be nuclear, although, frankly, I'm thinking that that industry is probably going to fade out over time. We haven't built a new nuclear plant in 40 years, so you have to think they're getting up there. Anyway, the case may be that if we pull this pipeline down from Canada and keep it clean, then it will be okay. It will do 30% of our energy demands. But the Obama administration, the Washington pundits right now don't want that because they want to invest hundreds of millions of dollars into technologies that simply don't work. Now, this doesn't mean that they're never going to work. It just means that right now that technology is not there. And I'm telling you, folks, I'm with you on this. I want them to continue to develop it, research. I want that technology to become available. But frankly, the Keystone Pipeline is not going to be the monster that the Washington pundits wish us to think it is. It's just not. Now, and I'll give you an example. The Alaskan Pipeline has been built, got to be 40 years now. Of course, I remember when I was a kid, they were talking about the Alaskan Pipeline. Oh, it's going to kill the wildlife. It's going to poison the forest, and the Yukon is going to be a wasteland. That's simply not true. As a matter of fact, it turns out that that pipeline is warm. And so the animals in this wintertime, they tend to flock toward it. It helps them. It's a warmer area. It simply is. That has been taken care of. Now, have there been accidents? Of course there have. But they've all taken care of it. We never hear about any giant earth-shattering disaster on the Alaskan pipeline. And we have every reason to believe that the same would be true with the Keystone pipeline, mostly because it's pretty flat. It's going to come right down the middle of the Great Plains. Easy to control, easy to isolate, easy to take care of. So all of a sudden, anybody who wants that, who thinks it's a good idea, is having a war on the environment. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me talk a little bit about the environment. The environment was here long before we were here. It really was. And frankly, if we were all to disappear, let's say we all found a better planet, we moved off and left this one alone, it will return to the way it was before we were here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what, unless the orbit with the sun changes, the environment is going to move back and forth. Now, here's a thing. It's global warming, and I tell you what, this is one of my pet peeves because, frankly, the reason the planet's getting hotter is because the sun is in its hottest peak of its hot and cool cycle. It happens every 11 years. Sun gets hotter, planet gets hotter. People say, oh, you know, it's CO2, and it's all these other nasty things we're doing. It's going to warm up the planet. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Mars probes have also recorded heat spikes on Mars. And I hate to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a lot of cars on Mars. Okay, so how do we explain that? Well, the explanation is, once again, Washington is trying to revert our attention from the real issues. The real issues are, what are we going to do about this debt? What are we going to do about our education system, about Social Security? Those are the issues we need to talk about. And I don't mean we Republicans or we Democrats. I mean we Americans, because all of us are in the same pie, ladies and gentlemen. If Social Security fails, it's going to affect us all. I don't care what your religious belief or what political party you happen to follow. If that fails, we are all going. Okay? Another thing, I love this. This is, again, I grew up in West Texas, and illegal immigration was actually a fact of life there. And it really was not that impactful because, frankly, I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, the oil field is full of them. The West Texas has a lot of illegal aliens, and one thing about them is that they come to work every day because that's why they're here. They're here to work, send money home. And they come to work every day. They do, by and large, a good job. I worked with them at various jobs when I was younger. And all of a sudden, it gets to the point where we've got so much violence close to the border that we need to protect ourselves. We've got drugs streaming in. We've got weapons coming in. We've got cartels that are so gutsy that they just pretty much walk over, and then we've got, you know, a handful of border agents trying to control that, ladies and gentlemen, and we really need to get a hold of it. And before we do anything about it, we need to secure the border. Now, you hear that the argument, let's build a fence. Build a fence. What are you going to build a fence from the Gulf of Mexico to San Diego? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you guys have been near that part of the country, but I promise you that a fence is simply not feasible. You're going to go over mountains. You're going to go through rivers. It's just not feasible. There are many other things we can do to control the border. Well, wait a minute. Here it is again. All of a sudden, we're talking about controlling the border, controlling illegal aliens, and once again, we're at war with Hispanics. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know a lot of people in my life have been Hispanic. I live in the southern part of the country. And frankly, we're not at war with Hispanics. The government is at war with us. They want us to separate, to go against one another. As long as we're paying attention to these little bitty tiny issues, we're not paying attention to them. And it's very interesting. It's highly unfortunate that they're trying to push us away from the things that are really important. One of the things that's important, one of the biggest things, is jobs. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't get a hold of this economy. More and more people are getting out of the work sector entirely. A lot of people are unemployed, losing their homes. It's just a mess here. Now, the Obama administration, Washington, says, yes, we've created jobs. We really have. Well, that's true. They have created jobs. I promise you. The problem is that they've created jobs in the public sector, jobs in the government. Now, ladies and gentlemen, jobs in the government take more tax dollars away from us. They've done virtually no jobs in the private sector. As a matter of fact, if anything else, the jobs have tailed off rather significantly since this administration came to power. But what the jobs they're creating are jobs that force those of us in the public sector who don't have work to pay for people to have work in the public sector, in the government, in Washington. And this is not indicative in states. States actually have lost about 500,000 jobs overall in their local governments. But the federal government grows and grows and grows until it becomes a monster that consumes everything that it sees. Everything that it sees. And the only way that that monster can grow is if we don't pay attention. And that's the whole point of this show, ladies and gentlemen. This is where we need to pay attention. I've outlined some of the ways that they move us around and try to keep us guessing and don't let us actually pay attention to what they're doing. And that's why I'm here. I want us to look at what they're doing, get past all this garbage, swim past this muddy water, and get to Washington. Tell these people what to do. And I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, they're not going to do it. They've proven to us over 20 years they are not going to do it. That's where we come in. We stand united. I'm going to finish this segment with a little quote. We must all stand together, or certainly we shall all hang apart. I got that wrong a little bit. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, the point is we need to stick together. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another break. Let's take a short break, but stay tuned. We'll come back right after these messages.